Three high school students create nanotech-based superheroes. Which will win the Generation Nano contest?
A scientist who shrinks to combat cancer.
A high schooler with plasma-powered nano-silver costume.
Or a man who overcomes his disabilities to protect the innocent, rising above the scientist who once tried to exploit him.
These three superheroes, all with superpowers based on real nanoscience, are the amazing creations of high school students Eric Liu, Madeline Chang, and Vong Mai. They were the finalists in the National Science Foundation's first ever Generation Nano contest. You're listening to the Sustainable Nano Podcast. I'm Miriam Krauss.
And I'm Melissa Richardson. The beloved Stan Lee, former president of Marvel Comics, mastermind behind the Fantastic Four, Hulk, the Avengers, and most of all, Spider-Man, teamed up with the National Science Foundation and National Nanotechnology Initiative to create a competition where high schoolers create a superhero that uses nanotechnology for the betterment of humanity. The goal was to combine a newly expanding field of science with a world of fantasy, nanoscience in superhero comics.
The competition was set up from the beginning to have students combine science and art in their creations. They had to provide a written summary of their superhero, as well as a one-page comic strip or a 90-second video bringing their character to life. Competition entries were accepted from November 2015 to February 2016, culminating with superhero demonstrations and competition awards presented at the USA Festival of Science and Engineering in Washington, D.C.
We're planning a whole other episode about the festival.
Yeah, it was amazing. We got to go there and talk to a bunch of visitors who were just there to with their kids, like to see all the science demonstrations, and it was pretty great.
Yeah, I was really overwhelmed with the amount of exhibits and people who got to enjoy this festival, and most of all, it was free, so that was extremely amazing. So stay tuned for that episode on the Science and Engineering Festival. So all the entries were sent in, and a panel of judges selected 11 semi-finalists, and then the three finalists who traveled to D.C. for the Science and Engineering Festival.
And as if getting Stan Lee on board wasn't impressive enough, Generation Nano recruited another geek icon to MC the award ceremony at the festival, actor and writer Will Wheaton. We'll let him remind us what it means when we talk about science and technology being at the nanoscale.
So, what is nanoscience and nanotechnology? It is the study and use of materials when they are very, very small. Now, think about this with me for a moment. We all know how big a millimeter is. So cut that millimeter into a million equal slices. Each one of those slices is a nanometer. At the nanoscale, which is about 1 to 100 nanometers, materials can have rather unique and useful properties that let scientists and engineers do some pretty cool things with them.
Okay, so we're going to leave you in suspense for a little bit longer about who won the competition. First, we're going to let the students tell you more about themselves and their nano-based superheroes. We actually had the opportunity to interview them at the Science and Engineering Festival the day before the award ceremony. We all sat around a table in a small room away from the huge crowds in the convention halls, and the three young masterminds introduced themselves.
Oh, hi, my name is Madeline, and I'm from Bergen County Academies in New Jersey.
My name is Eric, and I'm from Thomas Jefferson High School for Science and Technology in Alexandria, Virginia.
My name is Vong, and I'm from the Martha Ellen Civil School of the Arts in Georgia.
These three students, all from different states, schools, and educational backgrounds, were all drawn to this competition for various reasons. But one reason is common among all three: the combination of art and science. You might find this combination kind of obscure, but art is actually now incorporated into what used to be called STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. That world is now called STEAM, science, technology, engineering, art, and mathematics. The students explain the importance of integrating art and science a little more here.
I think art is an important medium for delivering information, and people look at art a different way than they see writing. So it allows more people to understand scientific concepts if they see it delivered through narrative or through drawings.
I think it's a two-sided thing. So science, a lot of times the most inventive and most useful science comes from elegant and simple and often beautiful engineering. And I think art plays a large role in that. Having kind of an artful mind can really contribute to designing something that's impactful and that no one has seen before.
I also found it really interesting that like Da Vinci, like Bernini, the old masters, they were not only just like sculptors or painters or drawers, they were also like often mathematicians and inventors and architects.
So having this mindset, the students set out on a quest to create a modern-day superhero that uses nanotechnology.
Do you guys want to tell us about your actual comic and tell us about your superhero?
My superhero is called Radio Blitz, and she is a 15-year-old girl who had to go work in a laboratory to earn money for her family. But when she worked in the laboratory, it was really dangerous, so they made her do a lot of really risky jobs that exposed her to radioactive material and ultimately caused her heart to have cancer. As she was dying, the lab gave her an android heart to replace her heart, and after that she had motivation. She didn't want anyone to be taken advantage of like that, and now she wants to help protect the world to make it a better place. So what she designed was a dress, and in the skirt of the dress there are tiny nanogenerators. They're called force-assembled triboelectric nanogenerators that convert kinetic energy, the kinetic energy of the movement of the skirt, into electrical energy that she can zap out into the air using silver nanowires. When the electron's in the air, then she can send out a high-frequency microwave from a cavity magnetron on the bow of her dress, and that will oscillate the electron so that she can create a plasma. After the plasma is there, then she can send out another electric shock from her skirt, and the electricity will go straight to any enemies that are in the plasma.
And I think we should interject here that, you know, the nanotechnology of your character is so inherent in her costume, and you've actually dressed as Radio Blitz today, which I think is pretty cool.
So my superhero is called Nano Man. Very creative. he was based off of a cancer nanosensor that I was reading about. It's actually in clinical trials right now. It's a nanotube nanosensor with a single strand of DNA kind of wrapped around it, and it can detect volatile molecules that melanoma gives off. So I was kind of inspired to create a character to represent the extension of someone's science. So Nanoman kind of has a close resemblance to the medical researcher. So that kind of represents that he is an extension of the researcher's science. And the researcher, although he may not seem to be doing any hands-on work, he's actually directly contributing to someone else's health. And I found that idea very endearing.
So my character was a bit inspired by this book called Flowers for Algernon. And it was about this author who had mental disability. And he went through a treatment that would give him like intelligence. But he found out that as he grew, become more intelligent, he went above the scientists who made him that way. But he realized that it was starting to degrade. So he was like desperately trying to hold on to the last pieces of his thoughts, and he was talking about how like intelligence without like the human touch was worthless, and I wanted to portray that in my character. His name is Nine, and he uses his suit made out of smart materials, which he manipulates using nanotechnology, and I think smart materials, they're pretty common in our everyday lives, but their potential is really untapped into. So I thought that was a good way to portray his character.
So you guys are very knowledgeable about the science behind your superhero. Can you comment on the research that you had to do in order to figure out if this was a superhero that could actually be real?
Yes, so I had to look up whether the silver nanowires could actually put electrons into the air, which they can, whether they would degrade if they were exposed to plasma. And I had to research different kinds of clothes that she had to wear, because like plasma sometimes can get really hot, so I wanted to see if there were fabrics that she could use to protect herself. So I actually learned a little bit about fire-resistant nanomaterials. And I also had to do some research on there's this thing called Passion's Law, and which shows the amount of electricity that you have to put into regular gases in order to ionize them. So I had to see, the air is like 80% nitrogen, and nitrogen needs like 31 1,000 volts in order to create an electric arc between it. So I would need that kind of power from the nano generators. So I need to see, well, can the nano generators produce this kind of power? And also for the drawing, I had to see what kind of color the electricity would be in the plasma.
So that's actually based on your research and not merely what would look cool on the page.
I have a strong interest in biology, and I wanted to incorporate that into my nanotechnology research. So the first thing I thought of was kind of a superhero that would somehow fight off cancer in the bloodstream at a smaller level. I did some research on cancer development and tumorigenesis and how nanotechnology could be used to kind of optimize cancer treatment. So I was reading about nanosensors that would localize cancer and kind of deliver drugs with high specificity, because a lot of kind of modern treatments for cancer, like chemotherapy, don't just target cancer cells, they target all of the cells in your body, because cancer cells are human. So people's hair follicles get damaged and their hair falls out. So I wanted to kind of emphasize that my character could do good and kind of limit the damages he could have on the on a human's body. So I wanted to research certain nanotechnologies that would accomplish that. And one of them was a diagnosis, as I mentioned, using the volatile compounds that cancers give off. And although it's still in development, it can also be extended to not only skin cancer, but other diseases as well. I was also looking at how people used various materials inside of their nanotechnology to see if they could optimize cancer treatment. So,
I did a lot of research on smart materials, and I found that they, even though we have knowledge of a lot of their existences, many of the materials still remain unknown to us as to how and why they work. So, in order to understand them, we actually have to study them and research them on a nanoscale, which would require innovations in nanotechnology. So, for my hero, I had to look up what we already knew and what could potentially be used from those materials. And so because of that, I had to discard a few ideas for my superheroes, simply because we didn't have enough information to see if that would work or would not work.
Vong mentioned smart materials. That's a category of materials that can change how they behave based on the environment or what you do to them. Not all smart materials use nanotechnology, and not all nanotechnology is useful for smart materials, but they are definitely related.
So they can have more than one properties. For example, a really famous example would be non-Newtonian fluids, which, depending on how much force you apply, they'll be a solid or liquid. Or like color-changing dyes or piezoelectricity, where when you apply force, it'll generate electricity.
So here we have it: smart materials, cancer diagnostics, and nanowires in plasma. All these superheroics based on real-world nanotechnology. We weren't the only ones impressed with the work of these students. We also got to talk to one of the judges involved in the competition.
Hi, I'm Sabin Mathadu. I'm an assistant professor of mechanical engineering and material science and engineering at University of California, Riverside, and a joint appointee with Department of Energy at Pacific Northwest National Lab. So my role in the Gen Nano project was to evaluate some of the semi-finalist projects and look at both the science and the comics artistry and art, how well they use the art of comic book and graphic novel depictions, and then also look at their incorporation of nanotechnology into their themes and concepts, and then of course the creativity of it. So I had fun looking at a variety of different topical ideas and proposals for this. One of the best NSF proposal panels I've ever been on.
So what, you're a scientist, so what is your experience with art?
So my experience with art is limited, other than I was a huge comic book fan and remain so until now. And I love the medium of comic books as a depiction of science. So what's great about what these kids are doing is that there's a strong history of usage of the science of the time in the depictions of what's in comic books. For example, when you talk about the Hulk, when you talk about Spider-Man, all of them came in a time where radiation and nuclear energy were well known within the broader community. And then later on, we had, before that, we had the war, where we had Captain America and his shield, we had Iron Man. These were characters that came out of the science of the war. After the nuclear race, we had the space race, where we had characters like Guardians of the Galaxy come along. And now we've moved into a space where the public has heard about nanotechnology, and we're starting to get more and more and more nanotechnology concepts within our comic books. And it's a chicken or egg issue. We don't know if that the comic book writers are putting things in there that inspire the kids or vice versa. There's a great panel in Avengers versus X-Men where Tony Stark, who's Iron Man, is able to fight Magneto, who should be able to control him, and he can't control him. And so Magneto's quite confused. Why? Because Tony Stark has made his suit out of carbon nanomaterials, carbon nanotubes, and graphene as a depiction of that technology. So it's a fascinating continuation of a concept that's stretched out through the Silver Age, Gold Age, and now the Nano Age.
Whether you're a comic book junkie or not, the relationship between superheroes and science Dr. Mathadu just explained is fascinating. It exhibits the human desire to be like our superheroes. What's super intriguing is that science is enabling this fantasy world to be a reality. Dr. Mathadu actually got in full character to show the capabilities that science has. He had, like, mutton chop whiskers and the adamantium claws and, like, Wolverine lumberjack outfit and everything. It was amazing.
Yeah, and it wasn't only him who was dressed up. In fact, his graduate students got in full costume as well, using the Captain America shield and full costume in that as well.
Yeah, and they had a whole little booth set up kind of next to the Generation Nano booth in the NSF area of the exhibit.
I thought that was extremely intelligent because it was getting young people into science, not only just to see science, but they got to see their superheroes and people they aspire to be. And not only could they take a picture with them, but they could learn the science behind some things that these superheroes use.
Yeah, we saw a bunch of, like, little kids all the way up through full-grown adults taking pictures at that booth, so that was pretty great. As you can imagine, we were incredibly impressed with these three student finalists and their comic book creations, and I'm sure you are too. But the time came for the ceremony announcing the judge's choice of the runners-up and final winner. Here's Will Wheaton again with the announcement.
I believe the time has come for me to ask for the envelope, please. May I have the envelope, please? Ladies and gentlemen, the third place winner in the Generation Nano competition is... Vung Mai for 9. The Generation Nano second place award goes to Madeline Chang for Radio Blitz. Hi, congratulations. Are you cosplaying as Radio Blitz right now?
Yes.
That's amazing. I love that. Now, for everyone who is not paying attention, or those of you who struggle with deduction, let us announce the first place winner in the Generation Nano competition. It is, of course, Eric Liu and Nano Man. Oh, Eric. Also, the public had a chance to weigh in this week, voting by internet for their favorite entry among the 11 semifinalists, and they chose a boat named Boaty McBoatface. That is not true. The winner of the People's Choice Award is Madeline Chang for Radio Blitz.
So there you have it. After hours of research, planning, and presenting, the students' anticipation was finally over. We would like to congratulate Madeline, Vong, and Eric for their great accomplishment. A special congratulations to Eric. Maybe one day his superhero will be in a movie or in real life.
You can just see Nano Man, like, 20 feet tall on the silver screen. It'd be great.
It would be awesome. Or if that turned into an actual cancer therapeutic.
Even better. In the end, Melissa and I also wanted to talk about why the comic strip format is so important. Surely there are other ways that nano heroes could have been presented, but it's clear that comics held sort of a special sway. So we asked Dr. Matadu about what makes comics such a great medium for connecting art and science.
So there's two aspects that are important to me as to why this is such a great medium. The first is that kids have heroes in sports, and they have heroes in comic books and from comic book science. But they don't necessarily connect that many of the heroes that they look at are real scientists and engineers and mathematicians. Hulk is a physicist. Tony Stark is an engineer who builds devices. Even Peter Parker is a teenager. Built his own web and web shooters. Black Panther is a great scientist and physicist. The Wonder Woman is not a scientist, but she was created by the same man who created the lie detector, and hence the lasso and the rope. So the ability to connect with kids that their heroes are actually scientists and engineers portrays to them that it is cool to be a scientist and engineer. The second aspect of why I think it's important is because unlike any other medium that I know, comic books reach across generations, cultures, genders, across the board. You can find an 80-year-old person who will know what Superman is, and you'll find a 3-year-old who knows the same. One of my mentors got into science because he saw Superman in a comic squeeze coal into a diamond, and that got him interested in geology. And his parents were vaudeville actors, and so it goes back a long way. It connects across a large group of people that no other medium can really connect with. So those two things make it something that's really important with me to connect to the broader public, and it's the hook that gets them into the actual science that they may see.
So our last interview question for the students, as we wrap up this episode, was we asked, what's next? We wanted to know if they knew what they were going to do after high school, or if participating in this contest affected their future plans. Here's what they had to say.
I'm still interested in both science and art, and I was really hoping that I could go to a school that had both programs, so in case I want to focus on one or the other, I could just switch major or have like a major and a minor. Mainly, I'm interested in physics and the fine arts.
Oh, yeah, me too. So in the short term, I want to create a story for my character and with other characters and different adventures that they go on. And in the future, I do think I would major in physics lifelong. And maybe I would take some courses in fine arts and maybe minor in that if I could. Or I could also minor in computer science. But I really like learning about how the world works and how different materials interact, and I've learned a lot during this competition.
I'm going back to the idea of STEAM, which is still revolutionary to me. I'm still kind of blown away. I really want to incorporate that in my school culture because I don't know if a lot of people know about it. So I want to start maybe organizing events that incorporate science, technology, engineering, and math, and art as well, which may seem kind of strange, but it's very useful to kind of see insights in both worlds by viewing them through a different lens.
I know I'm feeling inspired. We can't wait to see the amazing things these students accomplish in the future. Maybe we'll get to interview them again in a few years. For now, though, we'll let Will Wheaton have the final word.
I hope that we have shown you a little bit about how creative and fun science can be and how awesome it is when art and science overlap. Superhero powers that were once science fiction are very fast becoming science fact, and these kids that you saw today are imagining the future, and I love it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Sustainable Nano Podcast. Want more Sustainable Nano? We've got a blog with over 175 posts over at sustainable-nano.com. Of course, we're also on Twitter and Facebook and even on Pinterest at Sustainable Nano. We'd love to hear from you. What do you want to hear about on the podcast in the future? We want to thank everyone who made this episode possible. Vong Mai, Madeline Chang, and Eric Liu were all so thoughtful and insightful and clever to talk to. We wish we had time to share more of their comments with you. Dr. Savine Mathadu was wonderful to talk to also, as you heard, but we also had great conversations with Dr. Lisa Friedersdorf and Dr. Quinn Spadola from the National Nanotechnology Coordination Office that you didn't get to hear. We hope to be able to share those interviews in a future episode. Thanks to Kim Nelson, Bobby Mixon, and Denise Zanino from the National Science Foundation. They were the ones who helped us get everything set up for this episode in the first place. Last but not least, Sustainable Nano is produced by the Center for Sustainable Nanotechnology, a research center funded by the U.S. National Science Foundation. Here's our disclaimer, though. This material is based upon work supported by the National Science Foundation under the Center for Sustainable Nanotechnology grant. Any opinions, findings, and conclusions or recommendations expressed on this podcast are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of the National Science Foundation or the participating institutions. Our music is by the composer Kesta, and we found it at freemusicarchive.org. For more information on that and references and other stuff, you can watch the whole entire YouTube video of Will Wheaton and the awards presentation at Generation Nano. You can go to our website at sustainable-nano.com/podcast, or this website for the Center for Sustainable Nanotechnology at susnano.wisc.edu. Thanks for listening. Join us next time for more from the Sustainable Nano Podcast.
Mastermind behind the Fantastic Four, Hulk, the Avengers, and most of all, Superman, teamed up with the National
Spider-Man!
Spider-Man?
You said Superman.
Oh, my bad.